You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Welcome back. I am so excited about this episode. Today is the day I'm going to break down the specifics of how you operationalize a culture that benefits your employees and your organization as a whole. Regardless of the size of your company, the things that can help put some intentional focus on your culture are the same. They may just be done on a larger or smaller scale. Let's get on the same page about the definition of culture before we get started. So the definition I'm using is that it's about shared norms, values, attitudes, practices, really the things within your organization that create the collective identity of your company. It's like the invisible glue that binds your team and sets the stage for the narratives that your employees play out daily. And it contributes to your overall organizational story. So what does that even mean? Or what do you do with that? I know that most of you are focused on building or growing your business, or you may be new to a CEO role or a leadership role, and you don't have time to stop and worry about some invisible glue that binds your team together, right? You're worried about sales, investors, boards, budgets. I get it. But the data shared in a Forbes article demonstrated that companies with strong cultures, the things, you know, that invisible glue, have seen a 4x increase in revenue growth. Companies that have appeared on Fortune's annual 100 Best Companies to Work For list, again, based on how the employees are treated and the culture that the employees feel in that organization, they also see higher average annual returns with cumulative returns, get this, as high as 495%, whereas the S&P 500 is typically about 156%. So it's important. With a 4x increase in revenue growth, I'd say it's pretty dang important. What else can give you that kind of return? So what does it mean to focus on your culture? And how do you create that invisible glue? Well, I'm going to share my framework with you today that I use to assess organizational culture. I'm going to tell you 6 areas that I look at when I'm working with CEOs and their leadership teams to operationalize company cultures. So the framework that I've created is called Thrive Culture, and Thrive is an acronym that outlines 6 key areas that impact the culture and provide you with levers that can be used to operationalize and optimize your culture. Up until now, you may have felt like culture was intangible or something that people just talk about, that fluffy, you know, intangible. But I'm going to help you identify areas in your organization where if you just focus on making some adjustments, it can increase productivity from your team, it can improve their engagement level, and as we just heard in the statistics I shared, potentially increase your revenue by 4x. So let me break it down for you. As I mentioned, Thrive Culture is an acronym, and the T in Thrive is Tribal Core Values. Now, an organization may have defined their core values and have them on a poster in the conference room, but are they living and breathing? Are the core values alive in that organization? Are they tribal? And when I say tribal, so a tribe is, think of it, you know, it's a group of people that all come together with this common culture. They live in their own enclosed society. So if you think about your team of 20, 50, 500, 5,000 employees, they are a tribe. They are part of the enclosed society that is your organization. And when core values are defined in the right way and they're embedded in the culture of an organization, it feels almost tribal. The core values are part of this common language. It's shared among the group. And anyone working for this organization, they share these values, they behave a certain way with their colleagues, with customers. So for those of you that have never experienced this, I understand that it can seem a bit far-fetched or pie in the sky. But I have to tell you, I have experienced this firsthand, and it is real and it is a tangible thing. That's why I am so passionate about bringing this to life and helping you bring this to life in your organization, because I've experienced both sides. So data from LinkedIn highlights the priorities of Gen Z workers, and the study shows that 80% want better alignment with their values. Now, this is the population that is poised to dominate the workforce in the years ahead. And we know from other studies that a lack of alignment with values across the board, not just for Gen Z workers, but it can lead to burnout. Now, when we look at some of the other things in this same LinkedIn study, they were looking for 80% said they wanted better alignment with their values. 76% say they want more opportunities to learn or practice new skills. 61% say they want more opportunities to move up or increase their responsibilities. Did you notice that nowhere in there did I say that they want more money or they want more team outings? It's about giving them the autonomy to learn and grow, and also about everyday experiences and interactions within the organization and the alignment with their own values. Do you still need to pay them well? Do you still need to pay them their value? Absolutely, and we'll get to that in a minute. But there are other things that help to build the culture and create tribal values. So in order to have tribal values, you have to have defined your core values. Defining your core values, it's table stakes. It allows you to articulate what's important to the organization. It's how you communicate to your employees what behaviors are important to you. If you don't already have your core values defined, I want you to grab my free download, 5 Easy Steps to Define Engaging Core Values. And in a few weeks, I have an episode coming to walk you through those steps of defining your organizational values. So grab the free download. It's at wmbcoaching.com/define values. That's wmbcoaching.com/define values. And I'm going to put I'll put the link in the show notes for you. Okay, so step 2, or the H in Thrive, is helpful processes and systems. So you may have heard the term culture of clarity. And if you haven't heard that term, it's self-explanatory. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. If everyone in the organization has their own way of doing things, it causes a lack of consistency for clients and customers. And it can create chaos for employees, which impacts not just morale, but the bottom line. So this can happen for several reasons, and where I've seen it the most is in high-growth organizations or during times of change. Change of leadership, change of company focus, when the processes or ways of working have shifted and there's not been time to redefine the new way of doing things in a way that can be shared easily with others, like having processes documented, it can cause chaos. The other thing that I've seen that can cause a lack of clarity are the roles and responsibilities. So when employees don't know what their role is in a process or on the team, it can impact engagement and performance. I've actually seen this as a root cause for issues with team dynamics. So ensuring that processes along with the roles and responsibilities being clearly defined, it can drive a more positive employee experience and impact your culture. Another thing that impacts consistency is accountability. And so, in addition to having those processes defined and roles and responsibilities defined, it's so important that there is accountability from leadership. So, for example, I've worked in several change situations where we're rolling out a large change, and we roll out the change, everybody's on board, but then you have these pockets of the organization that start reverting back to the old way of doing things. And if leadership doesn't come in and reinforce the new way of doing things and hold employees accountable for the new way, it can cause chaos. And of course, having a continuous improvement mindset is great. You just need to ensure that everyone is clear on their roles as you move through change. So the third step, or the R in Thrive, is responsive listening strategy. In the coming weeks, again, I'll have a full episode on how to create a responsive listening strategy. You can just assume that I'm going to have an episode for each of the letters in Thrive. As your organization grows, it will be more difficult to hear directly from employees. Even with smaller organizations of 20 employees, they may not feel comfortable sharing honest feedback directly and would rather use a survey to share their feedback because you get so close in those smaller companies. That sometimes they're, well, it depends on the level of trust in that organization. But there are ways to improve the level of trust so that leaders can receive feedback firsthand. But for lack of face-to-face feedback, a survey can be a great instrument. But the key to any listening strategy is what you do with the feedback once you have it. That's the R, the responsive listening strategy. Notice I didn't say implement a listening strategy. I said implement a responsive listening strategy. So the process should look something like this. You want to evaluate the current culture through surveys, interviews, observations, whatever works. This can be annual or semi-annual culture engagement surveys. You could have exit interviews when your employees opt to leave the company. You could add a stay interview for new hires using your turnover data to understand where in the process employees are leaving. Like, are they leaving in the first 30 days, first 90 days, the first year? Pinpoint where that's happening and then go in and implement stay interviews. You can create forums or regular meetings where cultural issues can be addressed and ideas for improvement can be shared. That can be as simple as, you know, having a monthly meeting, and each month you talk about a different core value and you're getting feedback from the team on where they see areas of opportunity or where things are working well. Make it clear that the corporate culture should be dynamic and responsive to feedback, and then you need to act on the employee feedback. And here's another important thing: communicate the connection between their feedback that they've given and the actions you've taken. It is so, so, so important to demonstrate how gathering and acting on employee input can strengthen the culture and reinforce the safe space for sharing. So if they know that you've taken action based on something that they've given feedback on, you're just gonna, the trust level is gonna increase. And you can't make all the changes, you can't do everything, and employees understand that. I have also seen where organizations can go implement the changes, some of the feedback that was given, they go and make some changes, but they don't circle back and communicate to the employees that the change, that this is why they made that change, because they heard them. You would be surprised. You would think that employees would just know, oh, I gave the feedback, this change has happened, but you got to take credit for the change. Okay, step four, or the I in Thrive, is inspiring inclusivity and belonging. This can have several layers. This can have multiple layers. We'll obviously get an episode for this one, but you know, having the listening strategies in place actually is a great place to start for creating inclusivity and belonging. It creates that safe space where employees feel heard. But we can also create an inclusive environment as simply as watching the words that we use, using non-inclusive language like gendered terms. And there's a list of, you could just Google gendered terms, and it can give you an idea of some things that they could sound more masculine, that you are, you know, leaning toward the male population in this situation, discriminatory remarks or unnecessary assumptions about people. It makes employees feel like they don't have value, and it can really reduce morale. Inclusive language at your organization really should start with the hiring process to show new hires that you have an inclusive workplace culture. I've seen organizations making inclusive language a core value. That's how important it was to them. It's critical that you remain aware of your own unconscious biases and always apologize if you unintentionally use hurtful or insensitive language. You can create digital safe spaces for your remote team workers. Leaders can use these digital spaces to approve religious holiday requests, make remote company events optional, gauge what spaces your team need, create an anonymous survey to gain that feedback. And really, regardless of communication style, there is always a way to champion inclusive language. And the other piece are ERGs, employee resource groups, and all. We'll do an episode on that because I think, you know, companies have had success and there are companies that have not had success with these. And so I think there's a right way to do them. But if you don't know what an employee resource group is, that is taking a demographic or a shared interest group and allowing employees to form meetings or get-togethers, gatherings, with things that they share a common interest in other people within your organizational population, within the tribe. Just to give you a couple examples, there were parents of with autistic children groups in an organization that I worked for. And I've worked to help some organizations start, you know, Hispanic women's groups or African American heritage groups, you know, just different interest groups to make people feel like there are others that are represented within the organization that are similar to them. It's a way for people to connect within the organization. This is really helpful in larger organizations. Okay, step five, or the V in Thrive Culture, is visible career and development path. So there's several ways to go about this one. An easy first step is to make employees just simply make them aware of any training and developing opportunities that you have available to them. That's the visible, that's the V. Oftentimes, organizations have a development budget that goes unused because of the lack of communication around it. So ensure that your managers are aware of what they have to spend per employee and that they let their employees know that it's there. The other piece of this is creating a visible path for promotions. So in order to get to this point, leaders need to take a strategic, holistic view of their vision and goals and their current org chart. And this one, you know, it sounds simple, but I think depending on what stage your business is in, it can often be forgot about. So when the leadership team is strategic about what positions they think they will need in the future, they can begin to look at resources that they have that could be potential fits for the new roles. So when employees ask about their future, knowing where you may have future openings, even if it's 2 years out, gives you the opportunity to have those development conversations with them. Another tip that I'll give you is I like to have organizations pick the top 5 to 7 leadership competencies that they want their leaders to embody, and then create descriptions of those leadership competencies at each level. So for example, a manager, a director, and a vice president may all need to be able to manage conflict being the leadership competency. They may all need to be able to do that, but what it looks like at each level is different. So if you can get detailed about what it looks like with 3 to 5 bullet points for each level, so the manager level, the director level, the vice president, whatever your levels are within your organization, it can help in creating job descriptions for those roles, in interviewing for these positions, but it can also help you assess your employees against those competencies and allow them to create a development plan to prepare them for the type of role they may want in the future. Sometimes just having the conversation goes a long, long way. Okay, finally, step 6 is empowering rewards and recognition. There are some easy parts to this one and some more difficult parts. The easy part is just ensuring that you have some type of recognition in place and that it's unique to how employees want to be recognized. Some people don't like to be called out in front of the entire company and would rather just receive a cash bonus, while others don't mind the shout out and would welcome the walk across the stage at an all-team meeting or their name on a plaque. There's organizational recognition programs that you can put in place, and then there's the recognition from the direct supervisor. I would argue that the recognition from the direct supervisor is almost more impactful and can go such a long way. We all want to feel valued, and we want our direct supervisor to recognize our contribution. Even if it's in one-to-one meetings, it can give employees such a boost. Well, that's it. I hope this has been helpful. I hope it's been applicable That is my goal, is to give you tools that you can apply today. I'll put the link to the free download in the show notes. If you haven't yet defined your core values, this is a great tool to help you get started. And I'd love to hear from you. I'm Wendy Brand on LinkedIn. I'll put the link in the show notes. Come find and follow me. Shoot me a DM if there's something related to culture that you'd like to discuss on an episode. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Friday.